295. I hope that makes you ready to sing. One day, 295. Take a hymnal. Let's all stand and sing together. That last verse again. When we get to the chorus, we'll have the music drop out. We'll sing that chorus a cappella. And if you believe he's coming, you sing it with all your heart.
Bob,
way you worship God with your singing. I believe that honors the Lord above measure. What that wonderful praise, God. Thank you. It's good to know that God's in control of this thing. And one day He's coming. And I think Sunday, February the 2nd, would be a good day for Him to come back. Amen. That's right. Monday the 3rd would be okay. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm just ready. I'm ready when He comes. I hope you are. If you're not, you get ready. You might think, what is wrong with these people? It's called the blessed hope. That's what it is. And the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a day that's going to be. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer and honor Him with our prayers. And then you can be seated in the congregation and the choir will sing another number. All right, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Good to have Brother Scott Payne here with us.
Amen.
Brother Scott's been here before. I'll tell you a little bit more about him. He's in the chaplain program and he's here just for this week. And he texted me and said he was coming. But to remember him being here with a couple other fellas back a few years ago when we were over at the Waterford. And he wanted to come worship with us today. Love Brother Scott. Brother Scott, how about lead us in prayer? Would you do that?
Father, thank you so much for today's blessing. Thank you, Father, for life. Father, for your mercy and your grace. Father, we come before you and undeserve this day. Father, holy and trusting in your Son Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Father, for your sacrifice acceptable in your sight. Thank you, Father, for redemption. Thank you, Father, for your love and warnings. Father, thank you for that blessing. Well, one day that day will come.
Yes.
Father, we'll get to be with you for all eternity.
Yes, yes.
Lord, we just pray this morning that your blessing will continue to rest in this service. Father, we pray that the need might be represented here. Father, we pray that you help us worship in a way that pleases your sight.
Thank you.
choir for that. Good job. And it's all about the message in the song. All right. Well, let's stand, and we're going to give you a chance to greet each other this morning while the choir comes down. For your good singing. I believe we prayed the prayer room that God put His Spirit on the singing. I believe He's done that already. And that's the way it needs to be. We're not here just to meet. We're not here just to have service. We're here to worship the Lord. And that's why if we come for any other reason, then we've come for the wrong reason. And we might as well just go ahead and go home. But I didn't come for that. I came to be in church and to worship the Lord. And I appreciate the good. And listen, when you lift your voice, it doesn't matter if you carry a tune or not. God can hear that good tune. Amen. Man, some of us probably tone deaf, but He can hear it real good. I appreciate that. Well, again, we want to say welcome to the service today. And I mentioned Brother Payne, Brother Scott, some of our folks, when we were back at the Waterford, the chaplain school is here at Fort Jackson. And so and you remember Brother McCandless, Brother Eric McCandless up in South Dakota, and another young man, Joe Quilty, was his name. They all came together to our services there, and they were in town for I think 3 or 4 months, maybe longer, as they were doing a part of their Applin's program. And of course, then they all kind of left, and then Brother McCandless, you remember, came back and finished. Brother Scott actually got to sort of finish online. He's here this week to kind of do finals. And so he's only going to be here for another day or two, and he'll be heading back to Missouri. But if you'll remember, those of you that remember then, his family went right, they sang for us. And now his daughter's a senior in college. And so Brother Scott, we're getting older whether we like it or not, aren't we? Yeah. And Brother Scott is finishing up, and then he's going to be deployed to Germany several months. And so he texted me and said he wanted to come by the service, and he said, is the address right? Because he hadn't seen this. This is his first time in the new building. And we love Brother Payne and his family. And then, of course, Brother McCandless, he's been here a couple of times since then, and pastors up at Empire Baptist Temple in South Dakota. And then Brother Quilty, he believes may be active duty at Fort Bragg, the chaplain at Fort Bragg. So Brother Scott will be going to Germany to the hospital. It's where they bring the wounded soldiers when they come off the field, and he'll be actually the receiving chaplain. So he'll be meeting them when those injured and warriors get over there. So he's got quite a job ahead of him. I believe he's up to the task. And so glad to have Brother Scott here with us again today. And it's good to see Brother Leon, Brother Raymond here. I don't think we have any first-time visitors. I think everybody's been here before. Got a few people out with illness and other things. But let me just mention some things quickly, and then Brian can come give the announcements. Continue to pray for Rhonda Hale, Jim Robertson. Christy Todd has her surgery on Friday. What time is that, Christy? Do you know yet? You have to be at the hospital at 9:30 at Lexington Hospital, so remember that if you would. We mentioned Susan's grandson, Caleb, who has been having some flu issues over the last half a year, and I guess they found out maybe that's not the problem. There's something else going on, but they're not sure yet, right? Still doing tests on him. And so you remember Caleb in prayer. Tommy Clower still in the heart hospital. Then Martha and John having some surgery coming up. Right. Okay, so, all right, well, that's good. Amen. So you pray for their son, John, who, is he the youth pastor over at Harvest, or he used to be? I guess he still is. Oh, is that right? Okay. All right, well, I know John's been a good help to the brother over there. We love John, and so you continue to pray for him. A couple of things I'll mention before Brian comes. The new Call to Glory for February are on the table back there. Be sure and get one. These are what we use if you want to use for your daily devotion. There's also a couple of the kids' Call to Glories left, and we want that for children who are going to use it. So mom and dad, if you're one of your kids or grandkids grabs one and they're not going to use it, then don't let them keep it, because we want kids that can use it to use it, all right? But encourage them, if they want to have one, to use it. Read it with them. Show them that it works that way, that you know, that they can have some time with the Lord in these devotional books. So remember that. At the end of the service, two things. Number one, we're going to take pledges for the Jubilee coming up in April. And so hope you've been praying about that. And then Wednesday night, we met with several. We talked about, you know, the Singing at the Sea cruise that we went on this past week or 2 weeks ago now. And they're going to do another one in February. And so I'm going to actually be a tour host. So we signed up several. If you want to go, it's next February 1st through the 5th. I'm telling you, it is an experience you will never forget. And there's no liquor. There's no gambling. It's all preaching, gospel music. I'm not talking about contemporary stuff. I'm talking about the real McCoy. And then you can get off the boat and buy a bunch of mess and bring it home and then sell it at a yard sale next summer. But, you know, that's what you do with it. But anyhow, yeah, those of you that were not there Wednesday night, if you are interested, I'm going to meet in the ladies' Sunday school class for just a few minutes. Those of you that might still be interested in going and were not here Wednesday night, participate. So just right after the service, after we take care of the pledges for the Jubilee, then we'll go back there after we dismiss and meet. Okay? Come on, Brian.
All right. This afternoon at 4:30, we'll have choir practice. So make sure all the choirs here at 4:30, 5:30, our regular evening service, 7 o'clock prayer meeting on Wednesday. Thursday, this coming Thursday is the first Thursday of the month. As such, it'll be the service at the Waterford, 7 o'clock. on Thursday, and Brother Payne knows where that is. Last time he saw us, we were there. But we still meet there monthly, so on Thursday night, 7 o'clock at the Waterford. This Saturday, Miss Judy is speaking at a ladies' meeting at Solid Rock Baptist in Monroe, and she wanted y'all to know that. And if you're interested in going, there is a $10 charge for that, but if you're interested in going, and I recommend you do to support Miss Judy. That'd be a good thing in and of itself, and I'm sure you'll get blessed otherwise anyway. See her after the service so she can get you coordinated and figure out how y'all get up there and that kind of stuff. So that's this Saturday. I'm assuming it'll be kind of in the morning time, not late at night, obviously. So if you think about that, you might be interested to see Miss Judy after the service, and she'll make sure you have all you need. I want to put this bug in your ear. On Sunday, February 16th, that's 2 weeks from today, it will be Love Sunday, and that'll be a special Sunday in honor of our senior saint. Okay, they're gonna have some activities, and we're also gonna have fellowship after the evening service on February 16th. So keep that in mind. Maybe get ready to participate in that. Maybe do something special for a senior saint in the meantime. I'm sure they'd appreciate that. That's Sunday, February 16th. Love Sunday.
I missed it by one ear. All right. Well, before we sing our next song, we're going to recognize February birthdays, and then we're going to recognize a special February birthday, and then we'll do anniversaries as well. So if you have a February birthday, members or visitors alike, you stand. February birthdays. Okay. We have one, but we're going to do her special. Brandon? Hey, Brandon went on visitation with us yesterday, passed out 80 tracks. Thank you, Brandon, for that. And is it your birthday, Jenny? Okay. And who else? All right, let's sing to these, and then we'll do our special one. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Recognize Tam. Now, when was her birthday? Okay, now I didn't hear that. Pastor knows I can't. Actually, in January. But she celebrated. They had a party for her the other day, I think. Tam, will you stand up? We're glad to have her. She's an exchange student, just turned 17 years old. So let's sing happy birthday to Tam. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. And then anniversaries, any February anniversaries. Okay, you got one over here. We got a lot. Okay, let's sing happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Now take your hymnals, 361. 361. We're going to stand and sing the first and last. 361. forget, we are having service tonight at a regular time, 5:30. I know it's Super Bowl Sunday. Please don't lay out for Super Bowl. Don't even start till 6:30. I mean, my gracious goodness. And please, I've seen this before. If you do come and it's 6:30, we're not done yet. Please don't put earbuds in your ears. Hello. I mean, most important part of the game is the end of it, right? Halftime. Good gracious, no. I can care two hoots about halftime. And they're going to, you know, they've talked about this thing for 3 months. I mean, what more can you say about it, you know? And so I hope you'll be faithful here. And then, and most everybody's got one of them DVR things. You can always tape it and pick up on it. I like to do that myself because then I can go through all the commercials, except Super Bowl commercials are supposed to be really good. That's all beer and stuff like that. But anyhow, you know, don't stay home. I had a man who's my treasurer tell me one time, preacher, I won't be here on Super Bowl Sunday night, no matter what. And I said, then you don't have a job. He said, but I'm not going to be here. So, I mean, that's, you know, I hope that football's not your God. Amen. I hope God is your God. Football's just a little something you like. I love it. I love it. I don't have a dog in the fight. My team hadn't been to the championship game since 1956. So, that's back before they even had masks on. So, I mean, you know, there you go. But anyhow, but I hope you'll be back tonight at 5:30 for the evening service. All right? All right, let's pray. Father, we love you, and it's a joy to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. Lord, the first Sunday of February, and we're grateful for the beautiful day you've given us. The sun is shining. The weather's nice. And God, we're grateful for everyone that's made their way out to the house of God this morning. And I know, literally, Lord, now the whole world's in an uproar over a football game. Lord, I'm glad when we get to the house of God and we sing those songs about the Lord, what a lovely name, and man, being saved, and people shout. Lord, that's really worth cheering for. God is worth cheering for. God is worth shouting about. Lord, I'm glad when the game's over, it'll be over, and a lot of times after a few months, people don't even remember who was in it. Lord, I'm glad that Jesus never leaves me nor forsakes me. I'm glad that I'm saved forever and my name is eternally recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. God, I'm thankful for everyone that's come out today. Good to have Brother Payne here. Bless him as he goes from here, Lord, to serve you in the Army and in the military as a chaplain. We appreciate good men of God who love the Lord and love the Bible and are willing to go and try to help those soldiers, not only their problems, but also, Lord, with that sin problem, I tried to get them saved. Thank you for that. Now, Lord, we ask you to bless the offering, the gift and the giver, and bless the remainder of the service in Christ's name. Amen.
I'll do you one better on the Super Bowl. If you come to me after the service, give me $5. I'll tell you the score before the game even starts. And I'll give the money to either missions or the building fund. All right? Anchor Trio. Tells me it is so. Bible's ready. Listen to the pastor.
Amen. Sometimes the pastor feels a little inadequate when the singing is so good, because it's been great today. I'm telling you, what wonderful music that's honored the Lord. I want you to turn to the book of Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament, chapter number 47. Ezekiel chapter number 47. And I want to, in our auditorium class, Brother Steve is teaching the book of Leviticus on the Lord found in every book of the Bible. In Leviticus today, and we all recognize that throughout Scripture, Jesus is portrayed in many different ways, through personal experience, people's experience, through places. Some places actually speak to the Lord, people themselves, personal, Joseph and others. Here in Ezekiel 47, I want us to see a picture of the Holy Spirit, who is in fact Christ, because God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are all one. And it's amazing to see how God in the text of the Scripture can focus on Himself. And He does that because He is the not only the author, but the subject of the entire book. But an author, even when someone writes an autobiography or a biography of themselves, a lot of times there are people that are involved in it, other people, other forms of information. In the Bible, we know from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. He wrote His own story. And so because of that, and because of who he is able to write about himself without feeling like he is being, pushing himself on people. Because unless you let God push himself on you, you're going to go to hell when you die. Somebody said, "Well, I don't want to witness to my family because I think they'll think I'm being pushy." Where are they going to go if you don't get pushy? Who's going to reach them if you don't? And God being who He is and the only way to heaven, then it's pretty obvious that we need to do everything we can to push God, push the Lord, push salvation upon people. Not push it in them, push it up to them so they can see this thing. You know, it's amazing how you can say something to someone in a meek and mild voice, and they may not even pay any attention, but you get loud, all of a sudden you have their attention. And I'm not, don't misunderstand, I'm not talking about getting wild and, you know, just wild in somebody's face and all. I don't necessarily mean that. But the idea is we have what they need, and we should do everything we can to get that message to them. And one way we do that is by our own personal growth. Because like the old song says, your walk walks and your talk talks, but your, wait, I never can get that thing right. Walk talks loud and your talk talks or something like that. I don't know why I can bring that up. I never get that right. But the point is that what you is a lot of time more important than what they hear from you. You pray for me. I've been sick this week. I feel pretty good today. If I take a coughing bag, you'll just have to forgive me. I don't have a up here to turn off, so I guess everybody will have to hear me cough, I reckon. I don't know. But we're in Ezekiel chapter 47, page number 894 in your Scofield Bible. Stand with me, please, if you're able. And we'll read the first 12 verses out of Ezekiel 47. In verse 1, the Bible said, "Afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward." The house is the sanctuary. The house is literally heaven, the throne of heaven. The Bible says that the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house, the south side of the altar. "Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without, under the utter gate, by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side." Now all this is significant, not just storyline. "And when the man that had the line in his hand," guess who that is? It's the Lord. "The man who had the line in his hand went forth eastward. He measured 1,000 cubits and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000, brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. Waters were to the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000. And it was a river that I could not pass over." By the way, Brother Steve, there's two words. The Passover, one word, Passover means he couldn't swim it. He couldn't get across. And the Bible says, "Then he brought me," oh, I'm sorry, where am I at here? Yeah, verse 5, "at 1,000 I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? He brought me and caused me to return to the brink or the bank of the river. And when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were many trees on the one side and on the other. And said he unto me, These waters issue out toward the east country, and go down into the desert, and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. It shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. There shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. And shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from En-Gedi, even unto En-Aglim. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea exceeding many. But the miry places thereof, and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. And by the river upon the bank thereof, and on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat. His leaves shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, according because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary. And the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine." Father, we love you. Thank you for your blessings. We pray now that you'll bless the word of God to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach just a few moments on this thought, getting in over your head. Getting in over your head. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt like you were kind of in the deep place and it was a little over your head? You ever hear something, I love preaching, but there are times when I hear preaching that sometimes it's a little over my threshold. That there's anything wrong with the preaching. It's my threshold that's wrong. Probably because I'm not figuring it out. I read the Word of God every morning, but I don't get it all every morning. I always get something, and that's good for me, thank the Lord. But you think about swimming. You were when we were at Costa Maya, one of my things was I wanted to go out in the water where you could see the bottom, you know, clear water. Go to Myrtle Beach, you know, the ocean's kind of murky looking, you know. And so we got out there, sure, that water was just as crystal blue as it could be. So boy, I went out in that water and I walked out of that water. You could walk a long ways out and just be up to your, probably my chest. And I enjoyed that, and I got to, there was fish swimming around in there, all kinds of stuff. And so I could say I did that, but I walked out a long way. And then Brian got in there, and he went out farther than I did, and finally he got up about his shoulders. He got in and said, you know, where's Brian at? I said, he's way out there. Oh, Dad, he can't swim. He's going to drown. I said, don't worry about it. And I said, Brian, stand up. And he did. Everything was fine. You know, isn't it amazing how that sometimes you can be in places where you think it's over your head when all you really have to do is just stand up, right? And so, now, the vision that we read here in this book, what Ezekiel saw, the book of Ezekiel is a book of prophecy concerning Israel. The context, what the scripture actually speaks to, is the millennial kingdom. What it speaks to is how Israel will be restored during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And while that is happening in heaven, the Bible talks about the river of life that proceeds out of the throne. There are descriptions of this river in Ezekiel that fit with Revelation, where it talks about on either side of the river will be trees that bear fruit. In heaven, those trees will bear fruit where we can eat from those trees. And when you pick a fruit, another one grows right back in its place. It never runs. It's a buffet. Or what, as they said, some of those foreign folks on the ship, a buffet. And the Bible said it would bear its fruit in its season. So it's not, you know, it's not going to be the same thing all the time. So all of that is Ezekiel's prophecy concerning Israel's restoration down the line in the millennial reign. But as we all know, even though there are certain scriptures that deal with Israel that are primarily and specifically directed towards Israel, so that we can't appropriate that text. For example, circumcision. That was given to the Israelites, the male Israelites, for their identification. Specifically for them. Now, in modern times, basically all male children are circumcised. That does not make us Jews. But we cannot appropriate that verse and say, well, then I must be one of God's chosen people. Well, I can say that I am, but not because of the circumcision of the flesh, Paul said, but the circumcision of the heart. I got born again. Amen. And so, but there are many, most all scripture is applicable, meaning that you need to understand it in its context, but then say, now how does that help me? How does that help me? I want to do that this morning for a few minutes. Now before I get into the message, turn with me to John chapter 7. Hold your place in Ezekiel and turn to John chapter number 7 and look at, it's page 1125. You have a Scofield Bible, John chapter 7, we'll begin reading in verse 37. John chapter 7 and verse number 37. I'm on page here, my pages are stuck together, there we go. And notice what it says, in the last day, page 1125, verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake, now notice, of the Spirit. Notice the S is capitalized. And that is a correct mark. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. And he said, which they that believe on him should receive. The Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. In other words, he hadn't died yet. Remember, Jesus said, if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come. But he said, I go away. He said, when I do, the Comforter will come. And so we now have the Holy Spirit available to us because Jesus died. But you'll notice in John, Jesus himself uses the picture of a river of water. Holy Spirit, and most every time you read about water in the Bible, has a connection to the Holy Spirit. And we believe in what is called the principle of first mention, meaning that in the Bible, if a particular subject is mentioned, then one time, then throughout Scripture, it's going to mean the same thing. Well, you don't have to turn there for time's sake. In Genesis chapter 1, The Bible said in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. Verse 3 said, and the Spirit of God moved, listen, upon the face of the waters. Not the land, the waters. From the very beginning, the Holy Spirit has been connected to water. Now, let me give you a couple other verses real quickly. Isaiah 44:3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, my blessings upon thy offspring. John 4:14. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Talking about being saved, and then something happens in the believer where somebody takes over and it just bubbles all the time. That's the living Holy Ghost that takes residence in your heart when you get saved. John 19:34, the Bible said, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, talking about the Lord on the cross, and forthwith there came out both blood and water. The blood, of course, signifies the forgiveness of sin, the washing away of sin. The water signifies the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, that came after the blood was shed. The water didn't come out first. It came out second. You remember when Philip was dealing with the Ethiopian eunuch. He said, sir, what does hinder me from being baptized when they came up on the river? And Philip said, well, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou mayest. Don't ever think to put the water before the redemption. Listen, water baptism means absolutely nothing to your eternal salvation. It is an act of obedience that comes after you get saved. It is important. That's why we practice water baptism. And we immerse. We put them under till they bubble. Say amen right there. And so I think then the picture is clear in the Scripture. And there are many more, and I don't have time to go into all of it. But what I do want to show you tonight, or this morning, is that our thinking is, I don't ever want to get in over my head. Some people who are not able to swim, you know, they'll go out so far. My daughter's that way a little bit. Now, she can swim some, but, you know, she's not going to get too far out there. You know, some people, you know, some folks, you know, especially young people, they think they're going to show off to their girlfriends, so they jump in the deep end of the pool and find out that they ain't all cracked up to be, right? Ain't no girlfriend worth drowning for. Say amen right there. And so what do they do? So how do we start our kids? Now, have you ever noticed they do this? It shocks me, but it works. Where these people have newborn babies and they throw them in a pool, and then kids know how to hold their breath and swim. 60 years old, I'd sink like a rock. Say amen right there. I mean, I had learned how to swim. And of course, and it's something about natural sort of reaction. Now, once they get a little older, and then I don't know why it is, but when they get a little bit older, then they lose that sort of natural reaction, and then they have to be taught how to hold their breath and how to swim underwater and so on and so forth. And but here in the Scripture, I want to show you that God's intention for us, you ready, is to get in over our heads. Not to harm us, to help us. Not for us to die, but for us to live and prosper. We all believe. How many of you here this morning believe that you ought to live by faith? The Bible says, just shall live by faith. Well, here is a perfect example of how God wants us to trust Him and to put our faith in Him, even when it seems like we're in over our head. Notice the Scripture with me. Let me give you this real quickly, because what I want to show you is that God wants us to, by wading out by faith into God's perfect will and plan for our lives, wants us to get in over our heads. Notice the Scripture quickly. I'll give you three thoughts on this subject this morning. Number one, notice Ezekiel's vision. First, we have to get a grasp of what Ezekiel saw. I told you in verses 1 and 2 and 6 through 12, number 1, he saw a river. Now, that river is a type of the Holy Spirit. We've already showed you in the Scripture that water is a type. Now, Jesus said, remember, Jesus said, I'm the water of life. That's true. He's the one that gives us life. But the Holy Spirit is the one in the same person of the Godhead. He is just an extension of God, who's an extension of Christ. And so they're doing this thing together. Somebody said, well, if Jesus is the water of life, then the Holy Spirit can't be pictured as water. Sure he can, because they're the same person. Who created the water? God did, right? But is God connected to Jesus? According to Scripture, He is. Is God connected to the Holy Spirit? According to Scripture, He is. They're all three one. They're triune. And so it sounds to me like you can talk about all three of them. But in the person and work of the Holy Spirit, after Jesus left this world, He is pictured as water. So you'll notice Ezekiel's vision, he saw a river. Now, when you read about this river, there are three ways that this river represents the person and work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as a believer. For one, you'll notice its source. You know why we are what we are? Because we got saved by the grace of God. And where does that come from? By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yours. Got to come from somewhere but us. And it comes from the throne of God. And who is seated at the right? In our text, the Bible said that when the man who was measuring put me on the bank, I was on the right side. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm glad to report today that I'm on the right side of the bank, aren't you? I'm glad that I know who Jesus is. I've experienced His saving grace. I've experienced, although have failed Him often, the wonderful, miraculous work of the Holy Ghost in my life and in my person. But I'm telling you, if you ever want to be on the right side of the river, you're going to have a relationship with the Holy Ghost. So it's source, the throne of God. Notice this river's course. It comes from the altar. You know what the altar is in the Bible? It's a place of sacrifice. You know what you're going to have to do if you really want to be something for God? You're going to have to learn how to sacrifice. You're going to have to learn that there are times when getting in over your head is what God wants for you. Again, not to hurt you. I'll show you that in just a moment. And then you'll notice its force. Now, we saw something of that while we were on this cruise ship, and we got in a little bit of bad weather and didn't go out and look at it because it was during the night. It was dark. But you go inside that boat and tell something wasn't right. Because it was a rocking and a rolling. I'm not talking about music either. Amen. And I mean, you walk down through that corridor, bounce off the walls, imagine boom, boom, boom. After a while, I got tired of it. I'm telling you. At first, it was kind of exciting. You know what? When you're 60 years old and big as I am bouncing off walls, after a while, you go, no, I'm tired of this. So I got in the bed, praise God. I said, if it's going to rock me and roll me, I'd bump off sheets. Amen. And I did. Slept all night. Slept all the way through it. Then yesterday, you know, my wife, we had to practically just about promise her Jesus would be on the boat to get her to go with us. She finally did. And, of course, one thing she's always afraid of is waves and all that stuff. And the first two nights, that's what we got. I went to bed and I tried to go to sleep. She's over saying, dear God, don't let me die. I mean, she's a pray, and I've never heard her pray like that. Dear God, I mean, help us, Lord, help us, Lord. I'm trying to go to sleep. Help us, Lord, help us, Lord. And I said, well, you keep praying, I'm going to go to sleep. Amen. And the rest of it went good. So now everything's wonderful until yesterday. And my darling daughter, who is a bundle of information, all of a sudden while we were in the living room, they'd gone somewhere and they'd come home, and she said, Mom, look at this. And it was another cruise ship that was in the storm that our boat turned away from, or we'd have been in it. They were in it. And somebody took video of the waves. And they were on the sixth deck, and the water was coming up over their balcony. So what does Bethany do? She didn't say, Dad, look at this, because it wouldn't have bothered me. Mom, look at this. And all of a sudden, you start praying again, oh, dear God, oh, dear God, oh, dear God, because we're talking about going on another one. We had her convinced. Now I'm not sure. And, you know, so when Bethany got done, I said, why'd you do that? She said, you know, children, thou gavest me, Lord. And the only reason Andrew wasn't in on it, because he was at home, or he'd have been right there laughing right along with her, probably. I want you to notice real quickly about this river. First of all, in the Scripture, it had no feeder stream. There was nothing feeding it from without. You see, the Holy Ghost comes from heaven. The Holy Spirit doesn't need any help. He's everything we need by Himself. And He comes from the throne of God. He doesn't have other things. He doesn't have religion and people and works and benevolence and philanthropy. He doesn't need all that. You don't see anything feeding this river. It comes directly from the throne of God. But notice, too, it not only didn't have any feeder stream, but the Bible said in verse 8 it could heal. I believe in healing, don't you? I do. Now, I don't need healers. I wouldn't put any confidence in that. I believe that God can heal. I surely do. And He does it in many ways. A particular river, now keep in mind, is a vision concerning the restoration of Israel after the tribulation period, after Jeremiah, Israel's going to be in an uproar after the Antichrist tries to destroy it during the during the last part of the tribulation period. And then what happens? Here comes the Lord and He sets everything right. And through Israel runs this river that happens to come from heaven. It's not the Jordan. It's not any other earthly river. It's a heavenly river. And that's why the songwriter wrote, there is a river. There is a, it's not, it's a heaven. The Bible said it'll run through Israel and it'll make the desert places good. It'll grow trees and fruit. Everything it touches shall live. Boy, I'm glad I was lost in my sin. I was dying on my way to hell. And I met the Lord, thank God, through the power of the Holy Ghost. I got born again. I'm going to live. He said, for me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. I'm a winner either way, if I go or if I stay. Hallelujah. Not only did it not have feet or strings, hadn't it healed broken hearts and broken homes? Oh, hadn't it? Haven't you seen that? Some of us have experienced that in our own life. It, not only that, but in verse 9 it says it could revive. It could bring life to where there's death. Let me tell you something, friend. If you're not born again, let the Holy Spirit, let the Holy Ghost deal with your heart. And He'll show you life. He'll show you life everlasting. Oh, it's wonderful. You can live. The song says, look and live, my brother. So just let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. That's what He's here for. In verse 12 it says it could bring fruit and freshness. Wherever the river went, there was life. Isn't that what the woman at the well said to Jesus? Sir, you don't have anything to draw water with. How are you going to drink? He said, oh, lady, if you only knew who you were talking to. He said, if you knew who you were talking to, he said, you wouldn't ask me how I was going to drink. I don't know if you could have a drink. He said, because I'll give you water, you'll never thirst again. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad I don't have to go back to the well and get another drink. I got saved, I got all I needed. It's good to have the water in me, to have the river in me, to have the Holy Ghost in me, just to keep me wet. I don't ever have to worry about drying out. Amen. I mean, God just keeps you just as moist and fresh all the time. Look at verse 6. Not only did he see a river, but he saw redemption. The Bible said in that verse 6, and he said to me, son of man, hast thou seen? Did you see? Did you see it, Ezekiel? Did you see it? You're not saved here today. That's what the Holy Spirit is asking you. When the gospel gets presented, He's saying, did you see it? Did you see it? Did you see that Jesus Christ died for you? Did you see that His blood can wash your sin away? Did you see it? And He brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Many see the river of redemption, and guess what? They won't even get in it. There are many saints, I'm talking about us now, who see the river of reliance. You don't get in either. Oh, we don't mind waiting. Well, Judy's not a swimmer. Judy doesn't like water. Really? She'll wade, you know. Now, she didn't this time for whatever reason. She didn't even try it. But a lot of times, you know, if we do go to the beach or something like that, she'll take her shoes off and she'll wade in it, you know, and she'll get done to it. Well, that's good. I've had all I want. You know, here you go. Some people. But, you know, Christians, we can't operate that way. Wading in could never be enough for us. From this point, Ezekiel, the vision, shows us how God wants us to continually get in until all we can do is look at it real quickly and I'll be through. First of all, notice his venture in verse 3. The Bible said, and when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. That ankle deep water is a picture of the step of faith. There are some people who won't even get in. They won't even wade in. You tell them about Jesus, about being born again, and how that they, God can wash your sin away. They don't even want to hear it. But you know, the Bible talks about those who have tasted of the heavenly gift. Oh, they walked in a little bit. And they heard about it. Now, tasting of the heavenly gift does not mean you got it. It just means you know about it. And so there are a lot of people who will wade in a little bit. They'll go to church for a while. They'll hear the message and go, you know, that's pretty interesting. And I'd like to know more. But then when you start talking about it, when you get saved, but then you have to surrender yourself to God. You have to commit yourself to God. And you have to give up. You have to come out from among them and be ye separate. All of a sudden, boy, they jump out. That's all. I got it. That's enough. And you call them and say, hey, we miss you. Well, I'm looking around. You know what they're looking for? They're looking for ankle-deep water that they jump in and out of whenever they feel like. You know what that means? You know what it means when you're jumping in and out? You have control. I'll get in and I'll get out when I want to. That's exactly the thing that sends people to hell, is them being in control of their life. The Bible says in Psalm 34:8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Acts 16:31, remember the Philippian jailer? He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. And I have. When Ezekiel saw those ankle-deep waters, and by the way, remember too, that part of Israel's restoration will be that moment right before Jesus comes back when they cry out and say, God, save us! That's what God's been waiting to hear centuries. He's going to hear it and He's going to respond to it. So the ankle-deep water speaks of the step of faith. Then notice Next verse. Again, he measured 1,000 and the waters were to the knees. Guess what the knees signify? You know what that signifies? Prayer. Once you get in and get saved, the next thing that will cause you to grow in the Lord is to spend some time with God. So you get in the water up to your knees. You know what they say when you get into water like that? It takes all the pressure off your joints. It's actually healthier. You know, people do that water aerobics or whatever you call that, you know. They get in the water and they run underwater, you know. It looks weird, but they say it's good on your joints because you don't have the pressure on your joints. I guess that's true. Dependence upon the Lord comes through prayer. Many people stay in the shallow end. I'm talking about believers now. They get in, they get saved, but that's as far as they go. Well, they'll get down, splash the water on them, you know, and we sit down a minute and get their little bathing suit wet. That's as far as they're going to go. Don't go no further. Christian friend, if you don't want to go any further, then that's as far. Remember what I said Wednesday night about draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you? You can get as close to God as you want to, and He'll get as close to you as you want Him. And so that knee-deep water speaks of prayer. Then notice the next verse says, and he walked out of that 1,000 and it was to the loins. The loins in the Bible always speak of strength. You put on the whole armor of God. When warriors rest, they gird their loins. That's their core. That's this part of their body. Because that's where the major organs are, and you want to protect that, and that gives strength. If you're not worried about being struck in a vital organ, you can do some damage because you're not as afraid because you know I can't get hurt. Well, the Bible says, if we're really going to be something for God, we're going to have to learn to walk out where the water's up to our chest and realize that nothing can hurt us because the water we're in is not our water; it's God's water. It's the river that comes from the Holy Spirit. He said, lo, when Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, it just wasn't him he was talking about. He was talking about the Father and the Holy Spirit. Listen, you talk about protection, strength. Look right this way. Don't worry about her. Look right this way. When waist deep in the river, more, you know, by the way, Brother Steve, I thought about this when you were talking about the scapegoat. We talked about the scapegoat in Leviticus, how the priest would lay his hands, the people would lay their hands on the head of that goat, and then the goat would be led out as far away as they could get it so it couldn't come back. And it talked about God's forgetting for sin. First goat was crucified, was killed, sacrificed, forgiveness. The other one is forgetfulness or forgetting. And Brother Steve used this illustration. He said, and the people would stand and watch that scapegoat, and as it got further away, it got smaller, smaller, and smaller until it was gone. That's what happens when our sins are forgiven. Well, the same thing happens here for the Christian when they go out in the river. The deeper you go, the less of you see and more of the river. They walked, when Stein and Bethany walked way out in that water, you know, after she got the courage to do it, and all I saw was the top of their heads. You know what I saw more? The Gulf of Mexico. They were out there, and I could see their little heads bobbing. What I saw most of was water. That's exactly how it ought to be for the believer. Listen, I'm talking about getting in over our heads. I'm sure at some point somebody say, I guarantee you, at some point, Bethany said at some point to Brian, I can't touch the bottom. And that's as far as she's going to go. But you know, God's people sometimes do that. And we say, you know, Lord, I don't mind being out here, but I want to make sure I can touch the bottom. Guess what? God is not in control of your life then. Yeah, but I'm all the way out to my chest. I mean, how much more does He want? He wants you to get in over your head. Yeah, but if I do that, I might drown. Whose river are you in? Who's telling you to do this? You mean to tell me God would save you and then make you go out and die? Isn't that what Jesus told His disciples on the boat? They said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He said, oh, ye of little faith. He's thinking to himself, I didn't come out here to drown. He was sleeping. He needed some rest. He was sleeping. And his thought was, hey, you're with me. What's going to happen? And note the last part. Little trek. The Bible says, talking about Ezekiel's victory, what it says. He said unto me, verse 5, afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. He said, he finally got me out there where I couldn't go either way. I couldn't touch the bottom. I was at the mercy of the river. Now, most people say, oh, what a dangerous situation. But we're not talking about the Congaree River out here. We're not talking about the Mississippi River. We're not talking about the ocean. Talking about the river that comes from the throne. It's a type of the Holy Spirit who said, lo, I am with you always. He said, I could not pass over. Now guess what? Ezekiel is right where God wants him because now he's got to go where the river takes him and trust God not to let him go under. Remember, I said getting in over your head, but that doesn't mean you got to go under. You get it over your head in your own strength, you're going to go under. I'm not talking about you and me. I'm talking about the Lord. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. And notice what it says here, that I could not pass over. That speaks to spiritual maturity. You know what we see in Ezekiel's life? We see peace. Panic. When somebody who swim, even good swimmers, when they get in these currents, yeah, I'm telling you, It can take the best swimmer to death. Boy, you talk about panic. There's panic in the water. There's panic on the shore. Panic in the lifeguard's little chair. I mean, everybody's in a panic. Help him! Help him! But Ezekiel wasn't crying for anything. He said, you know, I'm out here where I can't swim. I can't get past it. I'm at the mercy of the river. But you know what? I feel pretty good. Because when the Holy Ghost is in control of your life, it's peace and not panic. Notice, when you're this deep, you've gone beyond your own ability. When you get out where it's only God, you're in a good place. Notice, when you're this deep, you can no longer support yourself. You know how we all do when we get out in that water and we start pressing that toe, you know. You may not can touch the bottom, but you just want to be able to scrape it. So at least you have an idea. And when you're out there where you can't pass over and reach all you want to, there's nothing there. Water. When you are this deep, you've been yourself up the will of the river. Folks, if you're really going to be surrendered to God as a believer, you've got to give yourself up totally. Wherever he, you sing that song, wherever he leads, I'll go. Is that really true? Are we too busy being in the kiddie pool? In the kiddie pool, you get out anytime you want. And you're surrendered to God. Now Ezekiel was in above his head. That's exactly where God wanted. Give you this scripture and I'm done. Listen with this. Go to chapter 43. Let's go back a page. Ezekiel chapter 43. Look at verse 1. Afterward he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh toward the east. Now remember, this river is coming from the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like a noise of many waters. John heard that same thing in Revelation, you remember? The earth shined with his glory. Now look at verse 3. I'm done. And it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw. See, hanging over your head is right where God wants you. Now, if you get out there and try to take control, you're going to flounder. You know what that means? That's people who are, you know, they're struggling. They're going down. They're popping up. That 1, 2, 3 thing. You know something about that, because my nephew, years ago, we went to the beach, and he got caught in a rip current. He didn't know where he was. He asked my brother, said, where's Hunter? He's right. He's in the lazy, no, not there. Wonder where he is. Next thing we heard, the offer's racket, and he was a mile down the beach in the ocean in a riptide. And the next thing we knew, here come a lifeguard with him in his arm. Had no clue where he was. We didn't even know he went down the water. I tell you, he could have died out there. The lifeguard was a little turbed. And so when he looked at me like that, I pointed at my brother. I needed a scapegoat. Say amen right there. I laid my hands on his daddy. Amen. I said, there's the one you want to talk to. But I mean, it was close. They said he was going down over and over again out in that river. I'm telling you, folks, if you try to do it on your own, you're going to go under. If you'll get in over your head with the power of God, you like, and do it because you know God will take care of you. There'll be peace and not. Don't get upset when things aren't going your way. Get out in the river and let God take you wherever you need to go. He gets you around it, past it, and through it. You'll always come out on the right side. Father, we love you today. I thank you for the attention of your people this morning. It's been a wonderful service. I hope the preaching has added to glory we felt in the singing this morning. God, I want all of us, myself included, to understand how important it is to get out the river, to go out to trust the Holy Spirit of God, who is our advocate, who is here with us every day. God, if we'll surrender to your will and to your purpose in our life, and no matter how deep we get, as long as it's in the river of God, as long as it's in God's will, we'll never die, we'll never go under, we'll never hurt, we'll never panic. We don't have to panic when God's in control. We can sit back and rest. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's what we find when we get in over our heads in God. Now in this world, it's trouble. In ourselves, it's trouble. In our circumstances and our control, it's absolute death. If we'll just trust God and go out where he is. We notice in the scripture that the man with the line in his hand took Ezekiel out there. Jesus is with us all the way. And so, Father, I pray that God's people, me included most of all, help me, Lord, please help me to surrender myself totally to the perfect will of God. And Lord, when I get in over my head because of my own strength, I cry out to God, save me. But if I can get in over my head in the perfect will of God, I can just float and rest and not be afraid. Lord, if there's somebody here lost without Christ, they'll never know what it is to have peace in their life until they trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Lord, there are Christians in this room who like to wade. Oh, they'll go out as high as their chest, as long as they're on the bottom, as long as they have control. Lord, help them to understand that until they get it over their head with God, they'll never really have spiritual maturity. We love you and we thank you for the message. Bless the invitation in Christ's name.